Welcome to the Irish Tech News Podcast, where we will bring you some of the most interesting interviews and features from the world of tech. Visit irishtechnews.ie and check out our podcast section to discover all of our previous episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @Irish_TechNews and on Facebook at facebook.com/IrishTechNews. Thanks and enjoy the listening.
Today's Irish Tech News Podcast is presented by the Tech Doctor, Ronan Leonard, and you can follow me on Twitter at TECDR.
I suppose another area of interest then is the whole area around this idea of SOAR, which is the automation of response in your operations center, your security operations center. And again, this is probably more a bit high end now for a lot of companies, but you know, it's definitely an area that if you think about going on from say something like the color tokens, you've got all these systems that are monitoring, they're going to start throwing out alerts, and you need to have some people there to read those alerts. So those people tend to be very expensive. We're working with a company, which is a bunch of Irish guys in it, but they're actually based in Vancouver in Canada, called D3 Security.
Yeah.
And what they do is this automated incident response. It's basically security orchestration and incident response. I think it stands for automated response, sorry. And what it does is, as these different sort of alerts are being created, it allows these analysts to automate a lot of the choices that they, or a lot of the jobs they need to do to remediate them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, say something comes in that requires you to reset someone's password on four different systems, like that's gonna take like 15-20 minutes for an IT guy. These automated solutions can let you just have a kind of predefined list of tasks that need to be done, so that the guy can press a button and say, okay, I spent 5 minutes working out what the problem is, here's how I fix it. But the fix, instead of taking 10 minutes now, it takes a minute. And it speeds up because that's sort of area of SOAR and automation of security response is another area that we think will be something that people are looking at this year.
Because I'm thinking right now that you got people at the moment, when they're sitting up from remote working, they're set up for this, and attackers realize that right now this is a prime time to go and attack somebody because their eye isn't fully in the ball.
Yeah, no, definitely, and I suppose like that's there'd be a lot of guys that we would work with. I'm thinking of the guys in Color Tokens now again, but like you mean, they would definitely say that is I suppose one of the things that people often would do is a thing like a DDoS attack onto someone so that they're distracted with that and then they do something else.
Yeah.
And again, that's another area that I think, you know, will start to get big this year because we're starting to see certain types. So traditionally a DDoS attack, which is a distributed denial of service attack, typically they used to be sort of targeted against someone. And often they were used as a kind of a thing to distract the IT team while they did something else. But, you know, just before Christmas, again, going back to some of the stuff, we started to see some where it's not necessarily against someone, it's against a device type. So, you know, a VPN router or a VPN router, but a VPN system that would be widely deployed, so that this hits loads of people at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't necessarily take them out, but it disrupts service. And with so many people working remotely now, and the various different types of remote access solutions out there, you know, there does seem to be a move now that they're starting to target those. We've started working with a company called Newstar who do DDoS mitigation. And basically what they do is they have built these big cloud-based mitigations, scrubbing sites they call them. So they can take about 14 terabytes, which is the biggest sort of capacity in the world to do this, so that if you're signed up with them and you start to have these problems, you can kind of call them up or let them know, and they'll start to clean the traffic for you. But the funny thing about this is that it does seem to be that, you know, they're changing from going after the big, you know, from going after particular sites to actually going after sort of types of devices. And that's new. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one for this year. But, you know, these type of services, I look upon sort of DDoS a bit of a simple way of, it's nearly like the AA for your car.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a thing that you can do it two ways. You can either buy it when your car breaks down and you're standing at the side of the road and, you know, that'll take a bit longer, or else you can buy it in advance and when you have a problem, they'll be there a little bit quicker. You'll still need to call them, turn it on, but they could, you know, it's just everything set up. And, you know, there's no shame in getting DDoSed. There's, you know, I suppose one thing I would say to people is if it happens, to talk about it, because, you know, you can't stop it. If somebody decides to hit you with a DDoS, there's nothing in the world you can do. The only thing you can do to prepare for it is to have some sort of a mitigation service in place. Otherwise, it's, you know, that's that. I suppose, but a lot of the attacks, like, the more people talk about them, the better, and make people aware that they do happen. I think there's a tendency to try and say, well, you know, let's not talk about that because it might reflect badly on us. Like, you know, there's nothing, you know, it's not that you've done anything wrong or someone attacks you. Like, you know, that's I wouldn't agree with that kind of approach at all.
I guess it's kind of like saying I'm not an alcoholic. You're admitting your flaws.
Well, this is it. Like, yeah. Well, like, nobody, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you walk down the street and someone beats you up, like, you know, you can't be blamed for that.
No. You can't. But the thing is, if you're somebody who openly admits this has happened, but honest about it, people are going to look at you, respect you more, because you either the balls to go and say, we've been hacked, we've been attacked.
Well, yeah, but you see, like, I wouldn't compare it to being an alcoholic, because, like, that kind of, in some respects, would say, you know, maybe you should be a bit better and not be out drinking, like, do some self-control. You know, it is literally like someone walking down the street and someone attacking you. Like, no one would give out to you for being mugged. Do you know, like...
No, but I mean, you know, I mean that you actually state in the fact that you actually are one. So you're admitting your flaws. So in this case, when you admit you've been attacked or hacked, by openly saying that, people are going to embar you more, because you went out and said this right away.
Yeah.
Not 3 years.
Well, I think it helps everybody, you know, and there'll be a big move in that within the security industry to sort of share the information, talk about who's been, you know, share what type of, and there is, like, you mean, there's a lot of competition, you know, it's within the industry, but all of the industry does share information about what type of attacks are being seen. You know, they won't necessarily share about how they're stopping them, but they'll definitely talk about what's been happening. And I think the more of that goes on, the more it helps raise awareness and let people understand what's going on, and let them plan then to put something in place to protect against it.
I'm thinking of Yahoo. When they got attacked a few years ago, it took them 3 years to announce this.
Well, this is it. Like, yeah. So,
the thing with Yahoo is, because if you had a Yahoo email address, that has been used for a lot of other services, and you wouldn't know until now. They've got that. They've actually got other details on you that you wouldn't have known about.
Yeah.
And tell us a bit about some of the companies that you're working with.
Well, I've told you a bit about that already. I suppose some of the new ones, so, like, you know, Checkpoint would be probably the one I've been working with the longest. And, you know, they're obviously, you know, like, you know, a massive player in the security space. They're probably the most sort of, you know, I suppose one of the longest standing, you know, security players going. Like, you know, I've been working with them since 1998. You know, they just do security. That's what they do. And I suppose, you know, the numbers are, you know, speak for themselves. Like, you know, they're 30 odd years nearly at this stage.
Yeah.
27, 28 anyway. I think they started in 94. So whatever that is, my maths term, 26 years.
So they're in a dark era.
And what they just do security, like, so, you know, over the years, I suppose we've seen a lot of companies come and go who've kind of come into the space. You know, you had NetScreen and WatchGuard and SonicWall and all these guys, and, you know, at the moment you've got Palo Alto and to a degree Fortinet. You know, checkpoints are always there because they just spend more on working out security, I think, than anybody else. You know, if you look at their returns to the stock market and stuff like that, like the amount that they put into R&D is massive. And I think, you know, that's borne out too by the customers as well. Like, we've many customers who've been with us for 20 years, like, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, we had a great year last year. Numbers were up sort of 60-odd%, as far as I know, for 20. It's not, you know, the numbers aren't out yet, but certainly locally, we were up about 60% on last year. And we're up 40% the year before, you know, so it's going from strength to strength, certainly in Ireland. So there's a good team in Ireland now. I think they're going to have 7 people based in Ireland now. You know, yeah. That was up from like 1 3 years ago. So they really are putting the investment in here. You know, some of the other ones that we're dealing with, Aruba, again, they're you know, more the sort of connectivity and wireless sort of side of things, but have some proper decent security solutions in those spaces as well. Neustar, another one we're working with, who again do the DDoS protection and do threat feeds. So they've some very interesting stuff around threat feeds coming in around new. So what are the big things that happen when people are trying to attack you, is that they will spin up websites and stuff like that to spoof you. So be it a spam attack or whatever, yeah. Click on this link, go to this website, or you know, if you're using command and control for software on your network, they'll spin up like literally websites for like, you know, they'll last for a minute and they'll be gone again.
Yeah.
But in that minute, all the machines that are infected will connect to them, get their latest set of instructions, and be told when to connect again. So you can get a lot of security from, or get a lot of security intelligence from, just monitoring all the websites that are being created every day. And there's just even following the history of a particular domain name. So like, if a domain name, you know, has disappeared for a year, even if it's a legitimate one and it pops up again, you know, chances, like, not, you know, 70% of the time, that's going to be a dodgy site, yeah. Because that's just the nature of it. And or if a website, you know, if a domain name pops up for just a minute, it's going to be dodgy. So if you can gather all that information and use it to sort of feed into your intelligence, into your incident event management systems, you know, just the name alone will tell you that there's something dodgy going on. So Neustar do that kind of monitoring, and they would recognize about 1 million new websites a day that you know, they come up and they can classify and tell you where they are and go back and tell the history of domain names going back, you know, years and years, like they're 20 years at it. They would see about 20% of all domain name information passing over the internet every day. So they're a very interesting company. We've been doing stuff with them this year. The other one is Color Tokens, who are in the zero trust space. So they and microsegmentation, and again, so they're all about sort of visualization. So get to know what's on your network. You can't secure what you can't see.
Yeah,
it's the first step, you know. And you know, I suppose the thing I like about them is they make it very easy to see. And you know, it's you know, picture paints 1,000 words kind of thing, but it's very easy to visualize your whole network, get your, you know, start looking for the connections that look dodgy, and then you can sort of very quickly and easily fix those connections. So, you know, a couple of clicks to kind of turn that off or turn that on, or yeah, to examine what type of traffic that is. And it can, you know, it's not just traffic from machines, but it's processes between databases and stuff like that. It can get quite deep quite quickly, but again, very sort of intuitive to use. Like, And again, these are not, you know, they tend to be solutions for bigger companies, but, you know, they're not, they don't have to be massive. Like, you know, you've got 20, 30, 40 people, you know, it's definitely something to have a look at, and not expensive either, you know, for that kind of a number, you know.
Yeah.
The other one then is a company called, actually there's another whole area that I didn't mention at all, is a company called Order, which is around IoT security. Yeah. So that's the Internet of Things. And again, that's around, and we had a lot of business, not so much in Ireland now, but in the UK before Christmas, into the NHS. And it's around securing what they call headless devices. So headless devices are basically, you know, I suppose, computers, for want of a better word, without your sort of traditional screen and keyboard.
Yeah.
So things like, you know, cash registers in a shop are, you know, all the different types of monitors, blood transfusion pumps, heart monitors, blah, 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 that you get in the hospitals, you know. Yeah. So there's loads and loads of that kind of stuff in hospitals. And basically these systems all run, they're all built using, like, there's hundreds of different operating systems that they run off, because they're not running necessarily on something like Windows, although things like point of sale machines in shops often are, but they are, you know, they're you know, the medical devices like would be sort of specifically designed to just run very simple sort of software and do their job. The thing they're most sort of interested in is that they don't fall over, that they don't crash, that they just keep working. They keep working because they're, you know, potentially pumping blood into somebody or yeah. delivering drugs or whatever, you know. So at the same time, they are vulnerable to attack. And like we were running a POC for one of the NHS locations there just in about August time, and they found they had a bunch of heart monitors that were also operating as Bitcoin miners, so that obviously freaks them out. so basically what Order does is it just examines the traffic. They have built up a database of thousands of different types of devices that are out there, and they look at about 250 different sort of attributes for each of these devices. And this is anything from CCTV cameras to fish bowls to coffee makers to fridges to, but mostly they've been concentrating on things like, you know, stuff that you get in hospitals, you know, point of sale stuff, a lot of automation stuff for warehousing and things like that. And basically they know the right type of traffic that should be coming from those devices. And if they see anything go that isn't that, like if they see some bit mining or something like that going on, they can then alert your solution, like your color tokens or your checkpoint or your, you know, your clear pass in Maruba, stuff like that. And then the other one that I did mention earlier was the guys 3D security.
Yeah.
Sorry, D3 security, I keep calling them 3D. And that's around the SOAR, which is the automation, and that's kind of a specialised enough area now in that it's automation for a SOC. But you know, again, that's an area that we see being you know, very interesting this year, in that because, you know, more and more SOCs are coming about. You know, the average sort of money that you hear about for a proper sort of analyst in a SOC is like $100,000 kind of thing, and you need about four or five of them if you're going to run a proper SOC, because it's you know, you need to keep it going 24/7. So anything that can cut down on how those guys' time is used is useful. Yeah. Do you know? And I think that's most of the products that we do now.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah, like we're always looking for new stuff too. But the, you know, we work with our channel as well, and they're great for finding new things as well, and helping us, you know, all work together to try and keep things safe.
Well, that sounds kind of interesting, because you mentioned a whole gamut of things that you work with. And when you recently mentioned briefly about IoT, that I'm thinking of basically smart speakers, things that you wouldn't realize in your
home. Yeah. Any of those, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. They're all covered. Yeah. So basically, smart speakers should have certain types of traffic coming out of it. So what Order would do is, if it sees on the network different types of traffic, and again, they built up a signal. This is what these guys do: they get all these devices in and they look at what is good traffic.
Yeah.
And if they see stuff that isn't that, then they can, they can alert on it. But the alert then gets passed on to a guy in a SOC, and a SOC then needs to have, a guy who can understand what that means and say, okay, well, that is actually dodgy or that isn't dodgy, and then, move on from there, kind of thing, So it all kind of links back into each other.
Yeah, it does. Everything is. It's always one common link. Normally, it's either stupidity or someone like, I've heard of a couple of years ago who had an office that they were using basically, they had a legacy software on the system that was been used. And that was still locked into the network. For years, it was lying in the background. It was hardly ever used.
Yeah.
But because it was in the network, that's where they got hacked because of that.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Because, and you see, a lot of those hacks are just, they're just sending out these, like the biggest one of all was the biggest botnet that ever was put together. I don't remember the name of it now. Myra.
Yeah.
I think that was it. But that was apparently a couple of lads who had a Minecraft server, and they wanted people to come to their Minecraft server because they'd get more, points or money or what it was. And there was a couple of other lads who had another one. I think this is up in Sweden somewhere. So they said, okay, well, why don't we run a program to see if we can get, and a botnet is about doing a DDoS attack. So the botnet, basically what you want to do is get as many machines as you can. And the plan was, we'll get all these machines and we'll point them at the other lad's server to stop other people connecting to their Minecraft server. So they wrote this code to go out and find, they kind of said, oh, actually, that's a really good idea. Let's try and go after CCTV cameras and IoT devices because they're not really that well secured. So they wrote this thing and they ended up building this Myra botnet, which ended up being the biggest one ever. And not only were they able to take out the guy's Minecraft server, but they had a good crack at Google one day as well. So that was about 3 years ago, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. So that was the biggest one so far. But it was kind of accidental. But like, give me similar thing. You could say, let's go out and look for all the Alexas out there we can find, and you'll find loads of them. And if the default password hasn't been changed, you'll get on it.
Yeah, the next thing is you're going to see somebody with one of the electric cars. You're going to find that.
Oh, that's been done already.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that has been done. They've already shown that for some of the electric cars that they can be taken over and opened and turned on and off.
What scares me is if you've got somebody who's got a Tesla car, and a Tesla car can go to level 5 autonomy, but it doesn't do that because it's a bane wreck of its country. Somebody goes in and hacks and changes that, you've then got a clean machine.
Well, I suppose it's possible. Yeah, definitely. Again, you'd have to. There's always the kind of motivation to. Do you know what I mean? So, like, people would do something like that to prove it can be done.
Yeah.
But in real life, the chances of it happening are probably slim enough. Like, if you wanted to take someone out, it's probably easier ways of doing it, like they're less traceable.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just thinking, after the year we've been through, anything is possible.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
In other words, if I was saying this, and like I saw a tweet yesterday, but some American screenwriter, and he was saying that before, when I was doing a plot about terrorists, they would actually have to plan how to go and take over a building. Yesterday, they just walked into to the Capitol Hill.
Yeah, just did it, yeah.
Yeah. So once that, it says, I'm not going to rethink my future plot. So anything right now is possible because of what's happening now.
Yeah, definitely. Very good.
Yeah, I guess on that note, we've actually covered a lot on the different security methods and also about how to basically keep yourself secure. And also, you mentioned earlier, Citrix is probably a great thing people should be looking at using if you're using a home computer.
Well, definitely. If you're working from a device at home, I think, yeah, it's hard to beat it, like, you know, because it just, you disconnect, have a secure connection in, you know, and then once you've disconnected, like, you're, you know, there's nothing on your laptop because it's all back in the server farm.
Yeah.
Or the cloud, or wherever it is these days.
Yeah, or whatever that, and that server farm could be somewhere else now. We don't know where it is. But because of this pandemic, we got to make sure that whatever you do, and if you're going remote working, make sure that when you do this, you have all the protocols in place that you would if you were working in the office, so it's secure as can be.
Yeah, even more so, like, because there's a certain level of security in the office, like, but you just need to put, you know. And it doesn't need to be complicated. Like, there's, I suppose, look, at, I'd say to people, if they're interested after hearing today, is maybe, you know, absolutely feel free to reach out to us at Data Solutions, and we'll put you in touch with someone who can have a conversation with you about, you know, the bits that we can provide, but also the bits that we don't, just to help them to get connected, you know, and do it securely, you know.
So I guess it's like building with Lego blocks. You build the bits you need and don't need, and then bits you don't need, you don't put in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, look, I suppose everything security-wise is always a decision between, you know, the risk. Like, you know, years ago, like, you know, people used to ask me, I want to go onto the internet, but I want to be safe. And kind of like, you know, the real, if you want to be safe, don't go on the internet. Like, you know, but, you know, you have to. So now it's a risk balance, you know. And, you know, so you can pump, you know, and again, you can put more money into security. You can put a lot of money in security. They'll keep, you know, you can spend loads and loads of money on security. But you must at some point say, okay, look, we need to decide what is our priorities here. You know, we need to put enough security in that we're not spending too much on it. It's not costing the business too much. But we also need to put enough in that we're protecting ourselves. And you know, your priorities can change very quickly. Do you know, if you've got your firewalls, you've got your sort of remote access all set up, and that's served you well for years, you know, and you know, the IT team come and say, well, we're actually worried about DDoS attacks, and you go, well, we've never been DDoS attacked, so I'm not paying, you know, X number of thousand a year to do that, you know, and that'll be fine until you are a DDoS attacked, and then all of a sudden you go, oh, well, actually, I'm going to spend that money now because it costs me way more being down for a couple of days.
Well, to me, you know? it's like if you're walking through, if a thief is walking through a street and he sees a house and it's got in there a burglar alarm system set up on the outside, he's not sure if that's real or not. He's not going to waste time going in there and hacking that.
Well, not when the one next door doesn't have it yet.
When someone goes through a system, if they see you've got these things in your system, thing is it worth the hassle of spending time navigating around these, or will it just go on to the easier target?
That's definitely true. Like, you know, you know, the more you have, the more of a deterrent it is, and the more difficult it makes it. You know, you're going to balance that against how much it all costs, because, you know, like I said, you could spend money on it all day long. Do you know?
Yeah. And for me, the biggest flaw is human nature, because humans are the ones that are actually going to the ones in the end out, no matter how secure it is.
I'd kind of say, like, humans probably get a bit of my bigger issue would be not so much about human nature, but it's the lack of training. And I know training is kind of boring, but it does make a massive difference. Like, you know, and like, if you particularly say something like, you know, say what happened here last March, like, and say, you know, rolling out the likes of Teams and things like that, like, you know, how many companies got trained on how to store stuff correctly when working remotely, like, that you don't just download it to your desktop like you used to do when you're in the office, because now you're working off your own machine at home, and that's all of a sudden a device that's GDPR incompliant.
Yeah,
because
I was going to say,
you know, so it's training. I would say training, and like, I think unless you've done a lot of training, any IT people who blame users are just taking the easy option.
No, I was going to actually mention also education. If you educate people about the flaws, what's going to happen?
Because humans
are the biggest thing at the moment, biggest flaw of anything. And if you can educate them to a certain degree to know what to look out for, less chance these things can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good one to leave it on, I think.
Yeah, I will do. And thanks for that. A great conversation.
No, absolutely, Ron. Yeah, that was a good crack.
And I have a great day, David, a good weekend, and hopefully in the future.
We'll see you at an SCF again sometime if we ever get to do one again.
Yeah, and we'll do one, and hopefully it won't be like this in the virtual world, it'll be a real world.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I don't think we'll be doing one this year, but maybe next year.
Yeah. All right, thanks for that. Take care.
Good stuff, thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the latest Irish Tech News podcast. You can sign up for more via our email digest, which does a weekly summary of all our podcasts, or you can follow us on your preferred podcasting platform of choice, or follow us on Twitter, Irish_Tech News, or Facebook, or LinkedIn, or the website irishtechnews.ie. We will bring you more soon, and thanks for listening.